Good morning and welcome to Cox Media Houston's Public Affairs Show, FYI. My name is Susie Hanks. Ending multiple sclerosis for good will take all of us. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society does yearly walks in support of multiple sclerosis awareness. And this Saturday, November 19th, is the Kima Boardwalk Walk. And so with us today, we have Cami Hazim with the MS Society. And Allison Mulligan, congratulations on the marriage.
Oh,
you're brand new
much.
Mulligan. You've been on the show before, Allison Sparer, and you are on the committee for the walk, and you're a big fundraiser and also a MS patient. And so I want to welcome you guys this morning to the show. Thank you.
Hi, Susie.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so the big walk is coming up, and first of all, we're going to give you some information about that. It is going on in Kima, and it is not too late to get signed up for it, is it?
No, not too late. You can sign up online at walkms.org. The walk is going to take place on Saturday, November 19th at the Kima Boardwalk. The route goes along the water, so it's a beautiful walk. Susie, I know you've joined us in the past, so we hope that people will visit walkms.org and sign up. It's free to sign up. It's free to get registered. This is a fundraising event for us, so we hope that people will fundraise and or donate. Anyone raising $100 or more will get our walk T-shirts. Anyone that's living with MS will get a free shirt, courtesy of Amogee Bank.
Great. I have been in the walk before, and I have to tell you, it's gorgeous. And I had a girlfriend of mine actually come out with me from California and do the walk. And you're walking along the water and through Kima and on the boardwalk, and she says, this is just the most beautiful, beautiful thing. And it was a beautiful, gorgeous day. Didn't have such a good day last year, did we?
No, so that means it's going to be even better this year. No rain. Last year with the weather, a couple of our walks got rained out, but we've been fortunate. We've had three, so Kima's our fourth and last walk of the season, so we are expecting beautiful, sunny weather.
Yeah, that was kind of disappointing last year, so we got to double our efforts. We got to get in there and raise some more money because that was kind of a bummer, but it's been gorgeous, and you've had how many walks so far?
We've had three, so we just wrapped up Houston at U of H last Sunday and had over 1,000 people out at the new stadium over at U of H. Before that, we had the Woodlands Walk and Sugar Land.
And Kelly Ryan from Houston's Eagle participated in one of those, had a great turnout, did some great fundraising, and so do you have an idea of how much you've raised so far?
The money is still coming in. Okay. Our accounting department is still processing money from last weekend.
Great. Okay. Well, what is the website once again if people wanted to go in and sign up?
It's walkms.org. Okay. And they'll have a drop-down box, and you can just plug in your zip code, and it'll find the walk closest to you.
Okay. Speaking of the walk, Allison Mulligan, you are an old pro at the walk, and you are quite a fundraiser. Tell me a little bit about this. You have recently cracked a milestone, haven't you?
Yes. I recently just surpassed the $100,000 mark.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I was diagnosed in 2009, and I got involved with MS Society. A girlfriend of mine, shortly after I was diagnosed, let me know that she and some friends were going to participate in the MS 150 in April on my behalf. And I thought, well, that's silly. I can do this, and I'm going to do it while I can, when I can. And so ever since then, I have been on board, and it's been overwhelming and humbling to receive donations from family and friends and total strangers. And it takes a lot of work to fundraise, but it goes straight to a cause, obviously, that affects me. And I can see the results of the fundraising over the last couple of years and how it's directly affected me. So, yes, $100,000, it's been a lot of work, but over 7 years, I've really had some amazing donors.
That is just incredible.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Thank you very much.
Do you have a goal for this year?
You know, originally my goal was to get to $100,000, and it sort of snuck up on me. So now I've got to set my new goal, but just continuing to raise funds, especially, you know, given our current economy here in Houston, it's been a little harder, but you know, anything that we can raise is beneficial. So, yeah.
So people can sign up and they can walk themselves. They can sign up and help with other teams and donate to people like you and your team. What's
That's
your
correct.
Team called?
I'm part of Team In Motion. It's actually the MS Society in Houston's local team. So a lot of the staff members and the committee members are part of that team. And so we participated in the Walk MS Houston last weekend at the University of Houston. So we're registered underneath. Cami, is that part of the Does InMotion have a chema team, or it's just part of the Houston
team? No, it's just part of the Houston.
Yeah, so if people wanted to donate to our team, they could go, again, to walkms.org and find the Houston walk and find Team InMotion.
So even though that walk is over with, you can still get in there and donate.
We'll still be accepting donations through the end of the year. I also want to give a shout-out in case people are listening and they want to make a donation to maybe a team. Our number one team currently in Kema is Team Beat the Hell Out of MS. They've been number one for a few different years, and they walk for Trent, who is living with MS. Our number two team is Team Temple, and they walk for James Temple. He's a dad, a great father. So they're out there. Pam's Posse is number three. One Love Movement is number four. And our number five team out in Kema currently is Keep Calm and Carry On.
Love it. So they can go on the website and pick one of those teams.
Yes.
and donate money as well. So they don't have to get up and come out and walk. They can just participate. But it's always better if you are so inclined to start a team up and get all your friends involved and all your coworkers and all the people that you know, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a great team building event. We've got a lot of corporate teams that come out, and it's a great way to meet people in your company, come out, have a good time. We've got a lot of church groups that come out to walk, school groups, and of course, we always are in need of volunteers. So if you're listening and you maybe can't come out to walk but want to help us the day before get set up, you can find that at walkms.org, too. There's a link to volunteer.
Yeah, and it's super-duper easy to set up a team, too, and to send out the emails. You just walk everybody through it, and it's super easy to do that. So if people want to do that, super easy. We're talking about the MS walk that's going on in Kema. It's going on November 19th. And it's also a great experience because it's kind of like a little festival going on out there, too. You have a lot of things going on, a lot of information and things to do.
We do. We've got a really great MS expo. So many of the people that come out to our walks are newly diagnosed with MS. I know Allison mentioned our big BPMS 150 bike ride in April. Not everyone is able to ride a 180-mile bike ride. So we've got a lot of people that come out to the walk just wanting to get involved, wanting to get more information. So we welcome vendors that offer a program or a service for people that are living with MS. So lots of education, lots of resources.
It's interesting that you say a lot of people who come out have just newly been diagnosed with MS. It is something that the more and more I learn about MS, the more and more I learn that it affects a lot of people that I know, and I didn't know this. Do you have an idea of how many, and is it maybe increasing, or what are the statistics here?
Yes, over 1 million people worldwide living with MS now. You know, MS affects people in the prime of life. So between 20 and 50, people are diagnosed, women more often than men.
That's true.
And Caucasian women more often.
Yeah. And so what is MS for people who don't know?
It's a disease of the central nervous system. You know, when we go out to schools and we try to explain MS to the kids, the best way I can explain it is to imagine your cell phone and your power cord. Sometimes when your cord gets old and frayed, and you try to plug it in, you get a charge, you don't get a charge.
You got to wiggle it around.
Yeah. So MS does the same thing. It attacks our nerves, and you don't get the message. Your brain's not getting or giving the message out to the rest of your body.
Yeah. And so tell me about the typical symptoms of MS, and what's funny is I just said the typical symptoms of MS. There are no typical symptoms of MS because your nerves affect everything in your body, and you never know which nerve is going to be affected. So give me an idea of some of the symptoms that can mean that there's MS.
I mean, it can be anything from mobility issues to vision issues to numbness in your fingers, your limbs, any part of your body. For me personally, I had issues with double vision and numbness on the right side of my body. But it's not uncommon for people to wake up and just have vision gone, or to wake up and not have feeling in hands or feet. It really affects every person differently, which is really part of the struggle of this disease. It's so different for each person.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend who I've walked before in the past. She's actually a cousin, Julie. She had MS, and she was having numbness, and she was having some pain in her hips, and they were having her do exercises, and they were thinking, scoliosis or some sort of a back issue, and then all of a sudden they diagnosed the MS just kind of out of the blue there, and she would be dropping things and stuff. But that was just, I mean, just a kind of a random thing. And she's who I walk for a lot. But since then, I found out that so many other people have it. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about your story, Allison, about how it happened and how you started to feel it? And
yeah,
what happened?
Sure. I was very lucky. I was diagnosed really quickly. A couple years ago, it was right before Thanksgiving. I was working a lot at work the week before trying to get stuff done. And I was working at a computer. And one day my vision just kind of felt a little off, and I thought I was tired, went home, slept it off, was fine the next morning, but it happened again. And as the week went on, it started happening earlier and earlier in the day. And I ended up having full double vision kind of by the end of the week. And I was just very lucky. I happened to see an ophthalmologist who sent me for an MRI, you know, over the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I had an MRI Saturday night, and I met with a neurologist on Monday morning who saw a lesion on my brain, which would be very common for multiple sclerosis. A lesion would be kind of it's where the myelin, the substance around your nerve, has been exposed, which is what was causing my double vision. I went in that same day. I mean, thanks to the Houston Medical Center, I mean, we're lucky to live where we are. But that same day I had some other tests, including a lumbar puncture, a spinal tap, which is the kind of the ultimate decider. If you have a certain protein in your spinal fluids, that sort of is you have MS kind of thing. So after I was recovering from the lumbar puncture, my right side just started to feel really numb. And they thought maybe it was just from the spinal puncture, but it really never went away. And I ended up getting in I was down in Sugar Land Methodist Hospital, and I had a great neurologist who, when I told him my symptoms, he instantly said, I think it's MS. And I had another MRI that's Wednesday, that same week, right before Thanksgiving. And what we were actually seeing was the lesion that was there was old, and there was a new lesion that was forming. And we actually saw the difference between the Saturday MRI and the Wednesday MRI. So that new lesion was what was causing my issues. And so once we had the conclusive evidence back from the proteins, or the proteins in the spinal fluid, that was when we knew for sure that it was MS. So within 2 weeks I was treated and diagnosed, and I'm very, very lucky. There's a lot of people who don't have that.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't mind, there's something I love to tell, kind of the story. You know, I was diagnosed 7 years ago, and at the time, there were really very few options for treatment. And I mean, there were maybe three or four options. And I was getting the best possible option, which was a daily injection as opposed to weekly or monthly infusions. And my doctor at the time said, this is your treatment for now. In 5 years, there could be a pill, there could be a cure. We don't know. And not even 4 years later, there were two oral medications on the market. And now there's 12 or 13 disease-modifying drugs for MS. And you know, given how much the National MS Society, based off of the Houston chapter, the Lone Star chapter, all the money that we've raised, it's directly benefited that kind of research and benefited me. So now I take a pill and I don't have to give myself a shot every day. So,
wow. Incredible advances in just that short amount of
Absolutely,
time.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yes.
Yeah. Did you have, looking back, symptoms before that maybe might have been an indicator, but you just kind of didn't know or blew it off?
It's possible. You know, the problem with multiple sclerosis is that oftentimes people have what's called silent attacks, where your central nervous system might be experiencing an attack from your immune system and you don't show any symptoms, you know, and that's really where diagnosing and treating is a hard thing. We obviously do have many visible symptoms, and my numbness and my double vision were one of them. But as far as I can remember, there was never anything that struck out in my mind. Speaking with people who have gone through different experiences, yes, they, you know, 5 years ago I had optic neuritis, which would be double vision, or I've always kind of had issues with numbness on my one side. And, you know, many years later, it was found that it was because of MS.
Right.
But yeah, fortunately for me, I've been very lucky in my experience. Yeah.
Since your diagnosis and everything, have you gone through other periods where there have been exacerbations or?
I've been really lucky. I've had a few minor relapses, nothing major. And thankfully for me, the treatments that I've been doing have worked. My annual MRIs have always consistently stayed about where they needed to be. And, you know, I think it's a lot of that comes to staying on top of it, seeing your doctor on a regular basis, getting your annual MRIs, annual exams. And for me, my big thing is a positive attitude. I believe staying on top of it and knowing that you have a choice. You can either be happy or about it or work hard to beat it, or you can't. And for me, I really haven't. I haven't had to experience too many relapses. I've had some minor issues, but I'm very lucky.
That's great.
Thank you.
Do we know what causes MS?
We don't know, and that's why it's so crucial that people are aware of the symptoms, are involved in helping us raise money for this. We don't know yet. You know, certain studies have said maybe, you know, it could be a vitamin D deficiency. Maybe it could be a sunlight, something about sunlight or kind of where you are geography-wise. But we don't have anything, and that's why we need funds and the scientists to keep working. I did want to make a note that last year the Society invested $54 million to support more than 380 new research projects that are currently ongoing now. So there's a lot of work being done, a lot of people that are working on trying to figure out this disease.
Yeah. The money that is raised here at the walks, does it go to the local research, the MS Society, or national? How does that get split up?
It's a lot of it stays here. A lot of it goes to our home office to support those new and ongoing research projects. A lot of programs and services that we offer right here in Houston, things like self-help groups. I believe that we've got 9 in the greater Houston area. If people are interested in learning more about that, they can visit our website, and we've got a list of those support groups. We've got camps that we put on every year for kids and their families that are living with MS. We do yoga in our office every month, so we do free yoga for people that are living with MS in our office. College scholarships. I believe last year in our region we gave over $200,000 of scholarship money to kids living with MS or kids that have a parent that's living with MS. We offer assistance with utility bills. We offer, we also staff a 1-800 number called our IRC, our Information Resource Center. And that number is staffed with MS navigators, and they answer those phone calls 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And that's where you can go if you are looking for a neurologist, or maybe you're moving to a city and you want to find a new doctor. Maybe you're having problems at work, and you want to know what your legal, what laws are.
Yeah, they're
what
for
legal
you.
Rights
yeah,
you have,
right.
Yeah.
About the rights that you have.
Well, because the MS Society really is, you're kind of a clearinghouse. Not only are you helping people with resources, you're also doing research, but also you are often the first phone call that somebody makes after their diagnosis.
Yes.
You kind of help them, but then you're there with all your resources and knowledge to help them throughout the lifetime.
Throughout their
right?
lives, you know, if they've got a question, you know, anything from needing to kind of modify their home or their car. You know, maybe they have been walking okay, but they need to move into an assisted walking device. So they need to make modifications to their car or home. They can call us to find out how they can get help with that. So that IRC number is just such a valuable tool. And those experts that answer the phone can help direct them. So, you know, our fundraising goes to support that too.
MS can be a pretty isolating disease, can't it? For a lot of people, you guys are the only resource that's out there. Is that
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. I mean, I think there are other organizations, but we are the biggest and the largest here. And I do have that 1-800 number that I can give our listeners. It's 1-800-344-4867.
Okay. And what is the website for the MS Society?
It's National MS Society or NationalMSSociety.org.
And then it'll direct you to the Houston
yes.
chapter or whatever one is closest to you is the one that you
yes.
go through.
Mm-hmm.
How wide of an area around here are you serving?
We've got offices in Houston, in Dallas, in San Antonio. Somebody the other day was asking me how many walks. So in our region, which is Texas and the states that touch Texas, we have about 30 different walks that happen and lots of offices everywhere.
Yeah.
And you can find that information on our website, too.
You also do a lot of work with caregivers and families, not just patients with MS. Tell me a little bit about that.
We do. Our services team does great work around supporting the caregivers.
That is so hard. But
there's information. Yeah. We've got a library in the Houston office, and it's just filled with information about supporting caregivers. I know one of our camps, you know, welcomes and it offers kind of like a respite weekend for those caregivers.
Okay. And also you help kind of navigate the insurance world and financial world as well, don't you?
Yeah, so that 1-800 number I gave earlier can help direct people to assist with insurance, medical questions.
Yeah, and just living with MS as it advances, because it can advance to stages of what, paralysis and things, right?
Yeah, I mean, every case, like Allison mentioned, is different. So you can have people that maybe never have an exacerbation in 20 years, or people that decline rapidly, so you just never know. Something else I didn't mention was the cost of medication to treat MS. And Allison can probably speak to this a lot better than me, but it's an expensive disease.
Yeah,
very expensive. A medication that I'm on, the oral medication, it retails at $6,300 a month.
Wow.
You know, and I went through kind of some issues with my insurance, and thankfully everything's worked out now. But off, you know, the problem now, if you can't get on a PPO, your options are just pay 20% co-insurance every month. And, you know, that's not many people have that kind of money laying around for medication. So, as Cammie mentioned, the IRC really can help navigate some of the healthcare and the insurance issues and questions. It definitely can be very expensive.
In addition, we've got a team out of Austin that works with our advocacy. So they're working to appeal just to our local Congress people and
the legislature.
To support people that are living with MS and other progressive diseases. There's so many things going on right now in the insurance kind of sector, things like step therapy and balanced billing, where people that are living with MS could be really affected and them not have any idea. So it's just important to make yourself aware of the issues. And there's a big part of that on the advocacy section of our website.
Yeah. We are talking with Cammie Hazeem with the MS Society and Allison Mulligan, who is a rock star fundraiser for the MS Society, raising over $100,000 in the last 6 years through the walks and the bike rides, but also part of the committee. And you've really kind of gotten involved with the MS Society. You dove right in, didn't you?
Absolutely, I did. Like I said, I had a good friend, Kelly, who really just helped me, you know, kind of get my foot in the door. And she actually was the one that convinced me to sign up to be on the walk committee 7 summers ago, and which is where I met Cammie for the first time. And you know, the society, it is a group full of people who just are giving their all. It is a family, and it's hard not to want to give everything you have to a group of people who are working so hard for you. And it's not just because it's their career, it's because they really care. And you know, Cammie is one of those people. And you know, there's so many little things you can do. There's big things. You can always fundraise. You can always, you know, volunteer on a committee, but there's just so many little things that can be done. And there's so many ways to get involved, and just, you know, volunteering once a year, just at the walk or the bike or one of those things. I guarantee if you do one day, you'll be committed to do more, because it's contagious. It's a very hopeful place.
Yeah. We're talking about the walk, which is happening in Kema on the 19th. And what's the website again for the walk?
Yes, it's walkms.org, and you can get event details. You can check out the maps and event day schedule. You can also register. You can create a team there. You can just make a donation.
Yeah. I wanted to say that that when you found out that you had MS, Allison, did other people that you knew also have it, or had it been touched? Tell me about your experience there.
That's something that never ceases to amaze me. When I was diagnosed, you talk to people, and everybody has a cousin, a mother, a brother, a sister, a friend. And I'm very open with my story. I'm very open with kind of my experience. I talk to people regularly who are recently diagnosed. Cammy will email me and say, I have a young lady who was just diagnosed. Would you reach out to her? I have family that have, and old friends that have just kind of messaged me through Facebook to say, hey, it's been a long time, but I have a friend that was just diagnosed and they're having a hard time. Would you mind talking with them? And, you know, it's crazy. Within the course of a month, I'll talk to two total strangers, a friend of a friend, a family member who's dealing with their family member. It surprises me, and yet it never ceases to surprise me how many people are affected by this disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This really is something that is affecting a lot of people, but it affects everything in your life. What about your employment and things?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I mean, that's, again, something with the IRC will definitely help people recognize what their legal rights are. You know, in recognition, in regards to discrimination or those things. I'm really lucky. I haven't had to deal with that, but you know, it's people living with MS have good days and they have bad days. And there are some days where you are so fatigued, you can hardly get out of bed. And, you know, I think education is the biggest thing for all of our employers and business owners. Is understanding the disease will help build a better understanding towards employees living with MS. Yeah.
And it affects your relationships with your employers, but also with your loved ones and your family. And you just got married.
I did. I did. Yeah. You know, it is. It's I'm very honest. I was open with my husband. I mean, I think on our second or third date, I told him, you know, about me living with MS, and it was never an issue. And, you know, I think it's hard. I think, again, not everybody understands the disease. And I'm sure there are people who unfortunately have to deal with that. And that, you know, my mother-in-law, I love her. When we first started, you know, when she first found out, I mean, she asked my now husband, you know, are you sure you're ready for this? Because this could be a lifelong thing. And I'm lucky that, you know, he's going to be by my side through anything. But yes, it's unfortunate that people do have to deal with that. And
I also think a hard thing is, you know, when you're living with MS, you might not always outwardly show symptoms.
Sure.
So that could be a big thing.
Well, and there's just no way to know. I mean, I can continue on my life as I am now and never have issues, or 10 years down the road, it's possible I could have really serious issues with walking and moving. And again, that's just, I can't stress enough how there's just, every person is affected so differently. And this is why we need to continue research so that hopefully I'll never be in that position, and the people who are being diagnosed now will never have to be in those positions. And the people who are in wheelchairs now, we can try to find ways to reverse, you know, or help at least alleviate some of their issues. But yeah, I think if you are somebody, a loved one, or you are someone that has a loved one with MS, it's being understanding and doing as much research as you possibly can to understand what that person is going through.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in. And again, this is, you know, research.
Absolutely.
This is so important. And this is where a lot of this money is going to, and where this is where a lot of the money that you raised has gone towards and is making huge strides. And in order to beat it for good, we need to keep doing it. So one more time, what is the website for the walk that's going on the 19th in Kima?
Walkms.org.
Okay. We have been talking with Cammy Hazeem with the MS Society and Allison Mulligan, rock star fundraiser, 100 grand over the last 6 years. What's your next goal, you think?
Well, I guess the next big one with the MS Society is $250,000. That's the next fundraising hall of fame. So
okay.
That's a big one. But, you know, one step at a time.
All right. We can do it. Thank you very much for everything, for coming in, and also for everything that you do.
Thank you, Susie.
You bet. My name is Susie Hanks. You've been listening to FYI.